Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Perspectives on the Bible. I'm Pastor Fred, and we're going to have prayers for today. Let us begin with the prayer of Psalm 84, a wonderful psalm. Let us say it together, or think it together, or dream it together, or pray it together in the Holy Spirit. Psalm 84. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yea, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, at thy altars, O Lord of hosts, my God and my King. Blessed are those who dwell in thy house, ever singing thy praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in thee, in whose hearts are the highways to Zion. As they go through the desolate valley, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look upon the face of thine anointed. For one day in thy courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in thee. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let us pause for our opening song, and then we'll come back for prayer, intercession, and meditation. Stay with us. What are you going to say on the final day? What are you going to say on the final day? What are you going to say when Jesus stands next to you on this, the third day of September in the year 2011? Let us sing out a praise to the Lord in the words of what's known in the church as the office of prayer at Vespers, which is the evening prayer, the early evening prayer. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The invitatory, which is the opening prayer for this day, is, The Lord has manifested forth his glory. O Lord, let us come and adore you. The words in the Magnificat of the Mother of our Lord Jesus Christ are these words: My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his posterity forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And the words of the Magnificent known as the Kyrie: Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Welcome to this program. This is a program of prayer and praise. I lined up my materials because I don't know how many of you will be able to call in, or just if you're archiving, obviously you can send me a note as to who we're praying for. So know this, that whoever you are listening to this program in any place, at any time, whether you're listening to it right now or you're listening to it through this wonderful communications medium, your prayers are in our hearts. Let's begin with that. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. We pray, reaching out our spirit through this wonderful communications device, we pray that you would touch the hearts of your people, that you would stir them up, and that you would bless them with that stirring up. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Stir up our lives with your Holy Spirit. Stir up our souls with your Holy Spirit. Embrace us, dear Lord, with that life-giving spirit known as holy. And hear our prayers. Lord, you know what we need even if we don't ask. You know what we need even before we ask. And so now, at this time, we reach out in the Holy Spirit to everyone who hears this voice, even though it's been spoken hours before or days before. We let that Spirit, because your word, O Lord, does not go out in vain. Your word does not go out answered. Your word goes out, and your word returns with the harvest. Your word never goes out and dissipates. Your word goes out through this medium, in the prayer, in the Holy Spirit, to touch the lives of people, even who hear this voice a year or two or five from now, Lord. We pray for all of these people in the Holy Spirit. We remember, O Lord, that your Son, our Lord Jesus the Christ, embraced us from the cross, looking out from that which was the cross of Christ, a throne of glory, a place of ignominy, and yet the place that we look to for our salvation, not the empty cross, Lord, because the empty cross is just a wooden place of execution, not the empty cross, Lord, because that's just two sticks in the air. Not the empty cross, because that is a sign of defeat. But we look to him who is on the cross. He who climbed on that cross. He who willingly stretched out his arms and allowed them to pierce him with nails. He who laid down upon that cross, knowing that he was saving the world. He who allowed them to lift him up, so that being lifted up, he may draw all men, women, and children of all times and all places to himself. The throne of glory, the cross of Christ. We view a whole world in that cross, and we use his words as he embraced all of humankind everywhere, all the time, for ages and ages and millennia of millennia. Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they do. Lord Jesus, we pray that we too, in your words, may hear your prayer. A prayer which you uttered long ago, but repeat every day, for as long as time and space last, as long as you have desired it to last, it is your prayer. We could put the words, for my sake. Father, this is me talking, Jesus. This is your Son stretched out as you willed it to be. This is the son who only a few hours ago said, Father, if it be that this cup can pass from me, take it from me. But, Father, if it is your will that I should drink the cup even to the dregs, your will be done. And so, Father, I now, Jesus, from the cross, not the empty cross, but the cross in which I am hanging, I pray for them, Father, for my sake, hear my voice, and forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And with that outstretched embrace, Jesus embraces every person of every time and every place and brings them into the family of the crucified and the redeemed. Brings them into the family of he who died and rose again. Brings them into the family who he who rose again and went back to the Father to send us the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who teaches us about him, draws us, calls us, gathers us to himself. Lord, we pray in this opening prayer of this prayer session, that you would reach out and embrace all your people and all those who are being saved and all those who have never heard and all those who have yet to hear. And we ask you to bless them with your powerful, personal, spiritual presence, even the Holy Spirit, and to hear the prayers of their hearts and to answer their prayers as they think the prayers and pray the prayers and speak the prayers. Be with them, O Lord. And let your Holy Spirit dwell with them today and forever. Amen. Amen. Dear friends, this is a program in which you can use the chat room. I hope you'll be able to do that. I hope you'll be able to let us know what you would pray for and who you would pray for, or to just join with us in prayer as we pray the prayers. I know that the Holy Spirit can use this program and many other programs of my many friends on the Blog Talk Radio. I know there are many who have befriended me and have said that they support this ministry with prayer. And I, dear friends, support your ministry with prayer. I do, and I ask you to continue in God's holy name, to continue to persevere and to continue to issue your message through Blog Talk Radio and your individual shows. Too many to name, but so many brothers and sisters preaching the gospel through this medium. So many brothers and sisters reaching out and embracing people through this medium. So many brothers and sisters touching the lives of other people for the Lord Jesus' sake. And the Holy Spirit is using you, and the Holy Spirit is using this medium to reach out for good and to bring a blessing and a healing and a help to so many people. Pray with me, dear Lord Jesus, use these many broadcasts, use these many preachers, men and women preachers of all kinds and types and races and all kinds of people in different viewpoints, but all of them desiring one thing, Lord, no matter what their theological viewpoint, no matter what their idea of what should be or shouldn't be, Lord, all of them preaching Jesus, Jesus crucified, Jesus crucified for the sins of the world, Jesus died and buried and raised from the dead, Jesus in glory with the Father. All of them preaching Jesus. And as St. Paul said, if for good or ill makes no matter, as long as Jesus is lifted up, as long as they preach Jesus, even from envy, he says, Jesus is lifted up. And he will use his name. He will use his name. He will use his name for power. Because even though those of us who speak his name, we don't even imagine, Lord Jesus, we don't know what power you can use, but you can use this power to reach out and touch the lives of those who hear this message. Hear our prayer, Lord Jesus, for your holy name's sake. Amen. Let's just take a little pause, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Yes, come thou Almighty King. That is a prayer that we can pray because God, as one of the people has written in, I don't know if he left the word out, but I think it's, do you believe that God has a plan for us? Yes, and I'm going to pray for that plan. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would work out your will in each individual person's life, because all of us are so different, and all of us have a different viewpoint and a different circumstance and a different time and a different place and a different environment. Use us for good. Use us as a blessing. Use us to heal. Use us to encourage. Use us to foster goodwill. Use us for peace, Lord. Use us in your will, in your way. Inspire us and give us insight. Lord, we don't know what we should do where we are. Maybe we don't know the answer to a problem, but we do know one thing. We can bless other people in your name. We can bring them a blessing. We can be a blessing by an act of kindness, by an act of help, by an act of a prayer to intercede. Even if all we're able to do is to pray a prayer, even from our sick bed. I have, Lord Jesus, I have so many people who are in sick beds, and I say to them and I ask you to be with them as they pray from their sick bed, not only for themselves, but for other people, those they love and those they don't. And I, Lord Jesus, I leave them with a prayer list, and they tell me each time I visit that they pray for these people whom they do not even know, that you would work out your will for them. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. I'm going to just have a little pause here for what's known as the prayer or intercession for the church. We're going to pray that. It's a formal prayer, but I think it encompasses many, many things. It's called the Litany for the Church. O God, the Father, who has made of one blood all the nations of the earth, have mercy upon us. O God, the Son, who has redeemed all mankind from the power of darkness, have mercy upon us. O God, the Holy Spirit, giver of life and light, by whom the whole body of the church is governed and sanctified, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to thee, most glorious Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the revelation of yourself to our poor world and for your commission to your church to proclaim the gospel of Christ to every person. Thanks be to thee, O God, for every disciple who was sent by Christ to proclaim the coming of the kingdom. We praise thee, O God, for the apostles who, in obedience to his word, carried the gospel throughout the empire and to the world beyond. We praise you, O God, for those known and unknown missionaries who first brought the gospel to our shores. We praise you, O God, for those who in the ages of darkness kept the light, and who, while others slumbered and slept, was faithful to the Lord's command. We praise you, O God. And for all who in our own day have recalled the church to her great task of bringing the good news to the world, we praise you, O God. Let's take a little pause, and we'll be right back. Hello, this is Pastor Fred. We're back, and we're seeking to pray, and we're praying out. I would like to share with you the devotion. This devotion is a daily devotional insight called Strengthening My Spirit. The writer is Charles Spurgeon, and this is 365 Days of Devotions. The publisher is Barfor. I think this is a republish. We're on page Epiphany Season, February the 3rd. of the Song of the Believer. And here's what he writes. He quotes Job chapter 35, verse 10. Job chapter 35, verse 10. Perhaps there is no music as sweet as that which comes from the lips and hearts of a tried believer. It is real then. When Job blessed God, even the devil himself could not insinuate that Job was a hypocrite. When Job prospered, the devil said, "Does Job serve God for naught?" But when Job lost his all, and yet was able to say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," then the good man shone like a star when the clouds are gone. Let us be sure to praise God when things go ill with us. Make certain that you sing then. A holy man, walking one night with a companion, listened to the nightingale, and he said, "That bird in the darkness is praising the Maker. Sing, and let your Lord have a song in the night." But the other replied, "My voice is hoarse and is not used to singing." "Then," said the other, "I will sing." And he sang, and the birds seemed to hear him and sang louder still. And he sang on, and other birds joined him, and the night seemed sweet with song. But in time the good man said, "My voice fails me, but this bird's throat holds out longer than mine. If only I could even fly away where I could sing on forever." It is blessed when we praise God when the sun has gone down, when darkness lowers and trials multiply. Then let us sing, "I will sing to my well-beloved a song." What a beautiful thought, to sing unto the Lord. And we've dealt with that and dwelt with that on previous programs about praise, that praise is a wonderful form of prayer that brings a blessing to us immediately upon praising the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so, we're praying today a prayer for the church and for all of you who care to share with us what you would pray for. And let us pray the prayer of the church here for missionaries. We pray, O God, for all your missionary servants who have joined the noble army of martyrs, for all converts to the faith who have sealed their testimony with their blood, and for all who at this hour suffer persecution and harm for the sake of their faith in you. We praise you, O God, for the innumerable company who now praise your name of every kindred and nation and tongue. And we praise you, O God, for those who have, even though we have proved unworthy of your mercies, have been a blessing to us. And we acknowledge before you and confess how little we have done to hand on in freedom and in fullness the faith that was brought to us through many perils and purchased with such pain and suffering. We ask you to pardon our negligence. And we confess to you, O Lord, that we have been and continue to be at times unconcerned about the many who do not profess the name of Christ. We ask you that you would hear our prayer, that you would enlighten our hearts, enliven our spirits, and inspire our souls with such a zeal for you that we do never cease to praise your holy name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us take a little pause. Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Let us pray for Mildred. Lord Jesus, you have been good to your servant Mildred all the days of her life. You have blessed her with kindness and goodness. And yes, Lord, you have been with her through many trials and tribulations. You have been with her in a young childhood when she suffered many decisions made by others for her life. You have been with her, and she has been loyal to you. You were with her during early days when she thought she could never have a family, and yet she did, by your grace, have a child. And you were with her and loyal to her, and she was loyal to you. You were with her, Lord, although she was unprepared for it, that her husband became ill at an early age and die. But you were there with her and loyal to her, and she loyal to you. You were there, O Lord, throughout the days of her young child's life when trial and tribulation enveloped him and he might not survive childhood. But he did, and she was loyal to you and you were loyal to her. You were there, O Lord, at her son's death, unexpected, a big surprise and a great shock and tragedy. And yet you were there with her. And as this husband and father to his own wife and children died, his mother was greatly wounded, that she should see the death of her child, as all of us would be so wounded. And yet she remained loyal to you and you loyal to her. And now, and this, the closing days of her life, Lord, you are with her again as she struggles to wonder what is in store for her in the days to come. She knows what the end will be. But, Lord, you are with her and you encourage her and you bring her strength. And we pray that you would bring her strength and your personal, powerful, spiritual presence to bring her comfort and hope in these her days. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord. Amen. Lord, be with us as we pray. We pray for your servant Thelma, another servant of yours, O Lord, who has been faithful to you and your church through many years, over 96 years, O Lord. You have been with her and faithful to her through trials and tribulations during the days of her life. And like so many of your elderly saints, O Lord, you have been with them as they have seen those they love go on before them, leaving them alone and destitute at the end of their days. Be with her and strengthen her and bless her. Surround her with those of her children who are able to come to her and be with her, for she was blessed with a family and blessed with children who love her. And although so many have gone before her of her friends and relations, her husband and all those others whom she loved, she still has around her yet more by your grace that you have blessed her. You have blessed her with a family, and that family thinks on her, prays for her, and attends to her needs. We ask you to bless them in their caregiving, and we ask you to bless her in her faithfulness to you and love for your holy name. Be with her, O Lord, we pray. Amen. pray with me, Lord, for Betty, your servant, O Lord, a woman of faith yet again, outliving her loved ones, surrounded by strangers in a strange place, who has made it a home. She looks beyond her circumstances. She looks beyond her situation and environment, and she sees your lovely face. She rejoices in your presence and knows of your personal spiritual presence in the Holy Spirit. And that knowledge for Betty transforms her enclosed world into a worldwide place where she brings happiness and joys to others with a smile, with a kind word, with a concerned prayer. We ask you to be with her and to bless her and to surround her with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We pray for FBM. We ask you to be with him in his life, O Lord. The troubles and trials surround him in every way. And he mourns the loss of his loved one. We ask you to keep him strong in the faith and to keep him and encourage him as he looks forward to those days yet to come when he shall see your will worked out in his perfect, in your perfect way in his life. Lord, we also pray for those who have been stricken with diabetes, those who have been crippled with diabetes, but those who, Lord, have had their lives gravely altered by this disease. We pray for all of them in every place. We ask you to be with them and to give them encouragement and strength as they face the devastating effects of rampant diabetes, and we pray also for their caregivers and their loved ones and their families. We pray for those who work in the diabetes research area and for the medicines and the caregivers and the caretakers. Lord, be with them all and give them your grace and blessing. Amen. Lord, we pray. We pray for those who are locked into their homes, locked into places too small for any real significant movement. They used to drive, Lord. They used to be out and about. They used to walk to and fro. They used to run and laugh. Now they find themselves locked inside a small space. But many still have their minds. Many still have their reason. Many can see and hear well. But they are prisoners of space. We pray for them, O Lord. We ask you that we in our lives may bring them some way out, maybe a telephone call to someone we know who is locked into space. And by our call, Lord, may that space be expanded. Maybe a card, Lord. A card that just says to them that there are people beyond that space who care about them and love them and seek their welfare and betterment. A prayer, Lord, as we lift them up before you and ask your blessing upon them in Jesus' name. A reading from the Daily Devotional Insights, Renew My Heart, John Wesley, the author, also produced by Daily Devotional Insights, put out by Barber, Renew My Heart, John Wesley. February the 5th, he quotes First Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The gospel is good tidings, good news for the guilty, helpless sinners. In the largest sense of the word, the gospel is the entire revelation made to people by Jesus Christ. Sometimes it means the whole of what he said and did and suffered while he lived on the earth. The gospel is Jesus Christ come into the world to save sinners. And again, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that we might not perish but have everlasting life. And again, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Believe this, and the kingdom of God is yours. By faith you attain the promise. He pardons and frees from guilt all that truly repent and genuinely believe his holy gospel. As soon as God speaks to your heart, namely, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven, his kingdom comes. You have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Only beware that you do not deceive your soul with regard to the nature of this faith. It is not a bare assent to the Bible or a yes to the articles of the creed. It is rather a confidence in the pardoning mercy of God through Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you. And it is a sure trust that you are now reconciled to God by the blood of his cross. A reading from Daily Devotional Insights, Teach Me to Pray, Andrew Murray. Andrew Murray, a devotional book by Barber. February the 5th, The Sign of a True Church. John 13, verse 35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. We are taught in most of our creeds that the true church is to be found where God's word is faithfully and accurately preached, and the sacraments are dispensed as instituted by Christ. Christ himself takes even a broader view. To him, the distinguishing mark of his followers is not merely what the church teaches, but how the church teaches us to live, and then, ultimately, how we live our lives by showing love to each other. Jesus' death on the cross was love at its highest. We owe everything to this love. Love is the power that moved Christ to die for us. In love, God highly exalted him as Lord and Christ. Love is the power that broke our hearts, and love is the power that heals them. Love is the power through which Christ dwells and works in us. Love can change my nature and enable me to surrender it to God. It gives me strength to live a holy, joyful life full of blessing to others. every Christian should show the love of God. Many Christians are sure that it is impossible to lead such a life, and they do not even greatly desire it. They do not understand that we may and can love God with God's own love. If we fully believe that the Holy Spirit dwelling within us will maintain this heavenly love from hour to hour, we will be able to understand the words of Christ. Let's repeat that. If we fully believe that the Holy Spirit dwelling within us will maintain this heavenly love from hour to hour, then we will be able to understand the words of Christ saying, anything is possible if a person believes. Then we will be able to love God with all our hearts, to love our family and friends, and even to love our enemies. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the book of John, the second chapter, the first 11 verses. 2 days later, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee, attended by the mother of Jesus, who was also invited along with his followers. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said, "They are out of wine." He responded, "Woman, why is your worry mine? My time is not yet come." His mother told the servants, "Whatever thing he tells you, do that." There happened to be 6 stone water vessels at hand, the kind used for Jewish purifications, capable of holding 15 to 25 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the water vessels," and they filled them to the top. He then said, "Ladle some out and take it to the steward," and they took it to him. The steward tasted the wine that had been water, not knowing its source, since only the servants who poured the water could know. The steward called to the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone first puts the best wine out, and the poorer kind only after people have been drinking. But you have kept the best wine for this moment." Cana in Galilee, then, marked the beginning of Jesus' signs, to make his glory clear, so that his followers believed in him. My reading is from the book The Rosary by Gary Wills. The Rosary by Gary Wills. I'm reading the section there on the interpretation of the wedding at Cana. Gary Wills writes, "A pious interpretation of this episode makes it demonstrate the power of Mary as an intercessor. When she asks, her son complies. But this ignores the shocking response Jesus gives her, one not to be softened or ignored. Raymond Brown says that Jesus refuses to act in according with Mary's implied request. He writes, "The suggestion must be rejected that the hour of miracles was advanced by Jesus at Mary's request. For in Joannine thought, the hour is not in Jesus' control, but in that of the Father. Before he does perform this sign, Jesus must make clear his refusal of Mary's intervention. She cannot have any role in his ministry. His signs must reflect his Father's sovereignty and not any human or family agency." Augustine has said the same thing in his interpreting John's Gospel. He writes, "Just as Jesus was both David's son and David's Lord, David's son in the flesh, David's Lord in his divinity, so was he Mary's son in the flesh and Mary's Lord in his divinity. Because she was not the mother of his divinity, and the miracle she was asking for had to be worked through his divinity," he answered, "why should your worry be mine?" Jesus' time, literally hour, is frequently invoked by John. It refers to the Father's plan for his life, culminating in the death and resurrection. At John chapter 7, verse 30, there is an attempt to arrest Jesus, but it fails because his time has not yet arrived. But at the Last Supper, it is said that the time had arrived for him to leave the world, going to his Father, John 13, verse 1. As he moves toward that death, his family is shunted aside. He recognizes only one claim upon him, his Heavenly Father's claim. This is emphasized in all four Gospels, in John's, but also in Matthew at chapter 19, verse 29, in Mark chapter 3, verses 33 to 35, and Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. If Jesus' time had not come, and he has refused his mother's implied request, why does he work the miracle? More importantly, why is it a sign? The gratuitous nature of the act points to some higher meaning than the satisfaction of the bridal party. After all, Jesus turns six huge vessels of water into wine. Since each vessel holds two or three measures, and the measure is about 8 gallons, that makes 16 to 24 gallons per vessel, or between 96 and 124 gallons in all. These were not jars meant for wine. They are specifically called water vessels, meant to store the vast amounts of water used for ritual purification. Jesus not only turns that vast quantity of water into wine, but into over 100 gallons of the highest quality wine, finer than that was first served. Such abundance is apocalyptic, like the promises of good to come in the New Jerusalem, like a land flowing with milk and honey, like a river flowing with honey, like the bread from heaven, like the trees bearing fruit every month, like the overflowing cup of Psalm 23, like the good turned to those who do good. Like, there is a similarity also, since this is a Eucharistic sign, to the surplus of loaves and fishes at Matthew 14, verse 20, where over 12 great baskets of food are left over after 5,000 people have eaten of their fill. The sign is also Mosaic, since Moses worked a sign, Exodus chapter 7, verse 9, when he turned the water in the Egyptians' great stone jars into blood. Another sign of the divine largesse occurred when Moses struck a rock in the desert, and water gushed out in abundance, enough to satisfy the whole people's thirst. Numbers 20, verse 11. A sign St. Paul applies to Christ as the rock from which Christians drink. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. Wine and blood are closely connected in the Scriptures, most obviously in the Eucharist, but in all passages as well. The image of a wine press spilling out blood is used at Isaiah 63, verse 3, Joel 3, verse 13, and Revelation 14, verse 19. In all these cases, there is an abundance of blood, even to splatter the clothes in Isaiah, to overflow a nation in Joel, to foam up to horses' bridles in Revelation. These are visions like those of Marlowe's Faustus, where he says, "See, where Christ's blood streams in the firmament." The finest wine at Cana, exceeding all need, is a forecast of the precious blood in which people are washed in Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. Christ is addressed as a lamb, as using your blood to buy for God men of all tribes and tongue and nations and races, Revelation 5, verse 9. The Cana miracle is often used in sermons as an occasion for talking about Christian marriage, though the wedding at Cana was not a Christian, but a Jewish one, a point underscored by the presence here of Jewish purification vessels. Despite what has been said at Cana conferences, the point of the story has really nothing to do with weddings, any more than it has to do with Mary's intercessory prayers. Jesus is working a sign that bursts out of the restraints of his occasion, a sign that serves as an induction for his followers into the mysterious journey on the way to his time. If one takes the story as showing that Mary can get prayers answered, we are in danger of falling into a false idea of prayer. St. Augustine says that prayer should not be a kind of magic in which, by making the right approach to God, one gets him to do what we want. Our prayer should be that of the Spirit in us, uniting us more closely to God. Quote, "When I pray for the recovery of some sick person, my aim is not at all for a magic cure, but that I may submit willingly to whatever your will is," Confessions of Augustine, 10:56. We should remember this as we read the Gospel passage. Then we may note that Mary makes no request of Jesus. She just states a fact. Then she tells the servant to do whatever Jesus says, as she has herself submitted to him at the Annunciation when she says, "I attend to the Lord, let it be as you say." W. H. Auden has the right view of petitionary prayer when he wrote in the journal Episcopalian, namely, "Our wishes and desires to pass an exam, to marry the person we love, to sell our house at a good price, are involuntary and are not themselves prayers, even if it is God whom we ask to attend to them. They only become prayer insofar as we believe that God knows better than we whether we should be granted or denied what we ask. A petition does not become a prayer unless it ends with the words, spoken or unspoken, nonetheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." This is Gary Wills, The Rosary, published by Viking Press. I've oftentimes used this book as something that I think you should get, and now you get a little piece of that. Maybe you want to purchase a copy of that for yourself. Let's take a little pause.
Breathe on me, breath.
Let us pray for Matthew. Lord, we lift up Matthew before you. Oftentimes he is lonely. Oftentimes he wonders if there's any purpose for his going on. Oftentimes he feels rejected, denied, and abandoned by his friends. We ask you to be with Matthew and to surround him. Lord, we know how difficult it can be when we feel that we are alone and that people are against us. Draw near to him, O Lord, in your holy word, and draw him out. Draw him out by a telephone call this week. We ask you to be with him. We ask those around him. Stir up, O Lord, those around him to go to him through a card, through a note, through a telephone call, even through a prayer. And we ask you that these persons around him, and he has many, might encourage him as he seems to have closed himself in and walled himself in to a small space. Lord, loneliness can do that. We ask you to be with Matthew and to help him. In Jesus' name. Let us pray. We pray for those many people who want to have a child in their lives. Lord, we know it is a great difficulty for those who see others having children. We know of those who have children, the joy a child brings to them, the happiness, the light, the laughter, the renewal of purpose, the renewal of vision, the reinstitution of hope. And we ask for those who long for a child in their own lives that you would be with them, and to bless them in the physical body, that they will be enabled to have a child. And if not, Lord, we ask you to encourage them to seek the necessary medical help and assistance, because many, many people who have a small physical infirmity have been able to overcome that with medical attention and medical help. Yet many are afraid, and afraid to go after such help, even though it would give to them that promise which they so much want. We ask you to be with them, and if you will not heal their bodies, we ask you to heal their spirits so that they are no longer afraid and are willing to venture out and to try to get the medical attention which may grant them the gift of life from their own families, in their own families, in such a way that they can have the hope and joy restored to them. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. This is a reading from Sue Monk Kidd's book, When the Heart Waits, Sue Monk Kidd, When the Heart Waits, Spiritual Direction for Life's Sacred Questions. This is on page 56. It's called The Collective They. Change begins with the recognition that we're not so much an I as a they. We may like to think that we're individuals living out our own unique truth. But more often, we are scripts written collectively by society, family, church, job, friends, and traditions. Sometimes our life becomes a matter of simply playing the various roles for which we've been scripted, playing them out perfectly, in the right sequence, in full costume and mask. Author Linda Leonard reminds us that in trying to adapt to an image from outside projected by parents and society, we become reduced to an object, to an it. Our lives become mundane and banal. We become fascinated by trivial matters, and mystery is lost, the mystery of our unique selves. We need our outer roles and identities, of course, but we also need to live them authentically, in ways that are true to our unique and inner self. When we live exclusively out of the expectations thrust upon us from outside, rather than living from the truth emerging from within, we become caught in the collective they. I asked myself repeatedly over the course of days and weeks what seemed like the silliest question. Okay, Sue Monk kid, who are you? And I always heard the obvious answer. I'm Sandy's wife, Bob and Ann's mother, Leah and Ridgely's daughter, a church member, a writer, a... One day, as I drove to the post office, that little dialogue started up in my head. A pressing question broke right into the middle of my rote response. So, if all those roles were suddenly stripped away, what would be left? Who would you then be? Now, there's a menacing question. Who would I be? The question sliced through the obvious, and suddenly I felt as if I were looking in a mirror at my original face, hearing my real name called for the first time. As I parked the car at the post office, tears began pouring down my face. I am, I thought. That's all. I was shocked by wonder at this unbidden and penetrating knowing of who I was. Inside, I felt reshuffled, revisioned, widened, breathed into. I look back at that experience with a smile. I mean, there I was, sitting in a parking space at the U.S. Post Office, having an ontological experience, an experience of pure beingness. But that's how such splintering of God often pierce us. In an unsuspecting moment, the scales fall off our eyes, the optical illusions vanish, and we're standing before what Rudolf Otto called the mysterium tremendum, the bare mystery of simply being. By the way, I never did buy stamps that day. We need to allow that question. As a matter of fact, lots of times we need questions more than answers. Questions such as these: is there more to me than the roles I live out? Can I open up to my identity apart from them, to the knowledge that I'm more than just the persona I create? The philosopher Søren Kierkegaard wrote that the ultimate thing is whether you yourself are conscious of that most intimate relation to yourself as an individual. This ultimate recognition is a necessary part of growing up. One day, crossing the street, I noticed a bumper sticker on a car that said, "I refuse to grow up." In the spiritual life, this is a deadly motto to follow. I looked through the car's window at the driver, an adult woman. She looked safe and comfortable, and with a shock, I recognized myself. A lot of days, I don't want to grow up. At some point, if we are to continue to grow, we must begin to differentiate ourselves from the roles we play. Often we do this when the roles that felt good initially now feel empty, notes the author Carol Pearson. A lot of my roles were feeling empty. Slowly, as I probed my life, I began to see how much of me was embedded in the collective they, how I tended to live out the scripting and expectations thrust on me rather than my own truth. Author Sam Keen calls the appearance of the true self from beneath roles the emergence of the outlaw. A daunting name, isn't it? It is used in the sense that one is growing beyond the confining laws imposed from without or from one's own history. He describes the outlaw quest not as a rebellion, but as a crucial stage of healthy inner growth in which the adult tills up the myths, the masks, and the ego defenses that were constructed during the first half of life. It is the first movement away from the herd instinct toward the true self, a struggle to pull oneself from the powerful suction of the collective they and become an authentic I. This is a reading from the book by Sue Monk Kidd called When the Heart Waits, Spiritual Directions for Life's Sacred Questions. Sue Monk Kidd, When the Heart Waits, Spiritual Directions for Life's Sacred Questions. Let's take a pause. Hi, friend. Reading from the first book of the Confessions of St. Augustine. This is a book by Pinkerton. This is an older translation, but one that speaks so beautifully in its prose. Great art thou, O Lord, and greatly to be praised. Great is thy power, and of thy wisdom there is no end. And man, being a part of thy creation, desires to praise thee. Man, who bears about him his mortality, the witness of his sin, even the witness that thou resistest the proud. Yet man, this part of thy creation, desires to praise thee. Thou movest us to delight in praising thee, for thou hast formed us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee, O Lord. Lord, teach me to know and to understand which of these should be first, to call on thee or to praise thee, and likewise to know thee or to call upon thee. But who is there that calls upon thee without knowing thee? For he that knows thee may not call upon thee. For he who knows thee not may not call upon thee as other than thou art. Or perhaps we call on thee that we may know thee. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Or how shall they believe without a preacher? And those who seek the Lord shall praise him, for those who seek shall find him, and those who find him shall praise him. Let me seek thee, Lord, in calling on thee, and call on thee in believing in thee. For thou hast been preached unto me, O Lord, my faith calls on thee. That faith which thou hast imparted to me, which thou hast breathed into me through the incarnation of thy Son, through the ministry of thy preacher. Let us pray. We pray for James. Lord, he has cancer. We ask you to be with the doctors, with the nurses, with the attendants as he undergoes the surgery. Lord, the weeks leading up to the surgery have been difficult. He has been afraid and is afraid. Draw close to him through family and friends, but especially draw close to him in your Holy Spirit. Bring unto him that personal knowledge of your presence, so that undergoing the surgery he may have hope, and undergoing that surgery and coming forth from it, we pray that he would be restored to health through the marvelous wonder of your doctors and your nurses, and through the magnificent wonder of your healing. We pray for him, O Lord. Amen. A reading from chapter 2 of St. Augustine's Confessions. And how shall I call upon my God and my Lord? For when I call on him, I ask him to come into me. And what place is there in me, into which God may come, into which God can come, even he who made heaven and earth? Is there anything in me, O Lord my God, that can contain thee? Do indeed the very heaven and the earth, which thou hast made, and in which thou hast made me, contain thee? Or, as nothing could exist without thee, does whatever exists contain thee? Why, then, do I ask thee to come into me, since I indeed exist, and could not exist if thou wert not in me? Because I am not yet in hell, though thou art even there. For if I go down into hell, thou art there. I could therefore not exist at all, O my God, unless thou wert in me. Or should I not rather say that I could not exist unless I were in thee, from whom come all things, by whom are all things, in whom are all things? Even so, Lord, even so. Where do I call thee to, since thou art in me? Or whence canst thou come into me? From where, outside heaven and earth, can I go, that from thence my God may come into me, who said, I fill the heavens and the earth? Let us pray. We pray for Mary. She has lost her mother. It is a great loss for her, because her mother suffered greatly and yet was a young woman. We pray for the entire family, but especially for Mary. Be with her as she confronts the irretrievability of death. Yes, Lord. The one thing we know is that the dead cannot be called back to us. We will go to them, but they will not come back to us. And so we are left standing at the graveside before the place of death, and we know that there is nothing, we cannot go into death to call them back. This is a great, great trouble for Mary, and we ask you to be with her and to help her to understand what it means to live in you and to die in you. For her mother was a Christian woman, and her mother had hope and faith. And her mother, at the last hours of her life, called upon the Lord Jesus to save her and to bless her and to take her soul unto himself. And may her daughter understand her mother's faith and be encouraged and strengthened through that faith, that she herself may face the rest of her life with the courage given to us through Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let us pray. We pray for Kenneth, O Lord. He has lost his friend, a dear friend, not through death, but by the way life is. His friend has left him, and now he feels alone. Lord, be with Kenneth as he confronts this blankness, this hollowness of feeling that he has. Be with him as he stands in wonderment at a space that is no longer filled by his friend, not through death or even physical separation of distance, but just by the abandonment of friendship, being told that I don't want to be your friend anymore. Be with Kenneth. It is a trouble for him. It is something that he, Lord, be with him. I cannot even express for him what he has said to me, except that once there was a friend, and now there is not, and now is only the memory. But it's a memory of a person, Lord, who still is around. Lord, I pray for the friends. May they be reunited in life. May they find a new place of commonality. May they find each other again. And may Kenneth be able to, after time, reach out to his friend and say, let's try it again. Let's be friends again. And may that joy which they once knew in each other and that happiness which they once shared with each other as friends be restored to each of them. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. A reading from Sue Monk Kidd's book, When the Heart Waits, When the Heart Waits. This is on page 88. A minister friend of mine, who had seen countless Christians through crisis events, told me that he didn't think most Christians knew how to have a crisis, at least not creatively. He started me wondering, for the most part, we do one of two things in response to a crisis. We say that it is God's will and force ourselves into an outwardly sweet acceptance, remaining unaffected at the deeper level of the spirit. People who have a crisis in this manner are generally after comfort and peace of mind. Or we reject the crisis, fighting and railing against it until we become cynical and defeated or suffer a loss of faith. People who choose this way to have a crisis are after justice. Yet there's a third way to have a crisis, the way of waiting. That way means creating a painfully honest and contemplative relationship with one's own depths, with God in the deep center of one's own soul. People who choose this way aren't so much after peace of mind or justice as they are after wholeness and transformation. They are after soul making. If you choose this way, you find the threshold, the creative moment or epiphany within the crisis. You discover that the stormy experience can be an agent drawing you deeper into the kingdom, separating you from the old consciousness and the clamp of the ego. It's not an easy way, but it is a way. Sue Monk Kidd, When the Heart Waits. Thank you. Let us pray for those who have wanted to be married and have never married, and for those who never desired to be married. For those who have wanted to be married, O Lord, and have never been married, we ask you to be with them, and no matter what their age, we ask them to reach out into life. Maybe their youth is gone. Maybe they're young. Whatever their status in life, Lord, reach out. Let them reach out into life. If they're young, let them reach out. There is always a chance. Bless them. And if their age is a factor, we ask you to encourage them to reach out. For there is always someone, maybe one like themselves, who is looking for another to relate to be friends with, and to have a happy time with each other. For those who never desire to be married, O Lord, give them the tranquility and peace and calmness that they seek in a life alone, and give them courage as they overcome those feelings that maybe they're outsiders. Lord, in our society that says that everyone must be like everyone else, bless those who choose to be different and help them to live that difference with courage and strength and your blessing. Amen. A reading from the book called Teach Me to Pray, Andrew Murray, Daily Devotional Thoughts of Andrew Murray, Teach Me to Pray, Barbara Press. This is for the November time frame. It's called The Grace of Intercession. He quotes here Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Don't forget to pray for us also. He writes, there is nothing that can bring us nearer to God and lead us deeper into his love than the work of intercession. Nothing gives us a higher experience of God than pouring out our hearts to him in prayer for other men and women. Nothing can be so closely connecting us to Jesus Christ and give us the experience of his power and spirit as yielding our lives to the work of bringing redemption into the lives of others. There is nothing in which we will know more of the working of the Holy Spirit than the prayer breathed by him into our hearts, Abba, Father. As we become a living sacrifice before God, with the persistent prayer of his abundant blessing, God will be glorified in the prayer of intercession. Our souls will reach their highest destiny, and God's kingdom will come. As God's children daily pray together that God will make his church a light to those who are sitting in darkness, we will experience unity and power in the body of Christ. How little we realize what we are losing in not living in fervent prayers of intercession. Christ lives in heaven to pray, asking the fullness of the Spirit for his people. God delights in nothing as much as in prayer. Believe that the highest blessings of heaven will be given to us as we pray even the more. pray, O Lord, for those who are experiencing the pain of divorce. Lord, these people, our friends and brothers and sisters, face the crisis that no one knows anything about until they face it. And each one who tells their story, Lord, tells it as one of shock and dismay, disappointment, depression. What happened? How did it happen? Why is it happening? Can't it stop? When will it be over? Maybe we can go back. Maybe things can be made new again. Maybe we can somehow or other get together. Lord, we pray for those who are experiencing the ripping and tearing of divorce. And we ask you to be with them individually and collectively. Where it is possible, Lord, we ask you to work out reconciliation and reuniting, forgiveness and understanding, and a spirit of trying again. But where that is gone, O Lord, we ask you to be with them and to give them comfort and hope, so that when this ripping and tearing and pain is over, or is past at least, that each may find a new life, a new way in you and with you. Hold on to them, and we pray that they will hold on to you. We ask this in your holy name. And where there are children involved, Lord, we ask you to be with these children through no fault of their own. They are involved in one of the most painful experiences, the tearing apart and the ripping asunder and the destruction of the family. For these children who do not know why these things are happening and do not want them to happen but seek only security, we ask you to draw near to them and to give them of your personal, powerful, spiritual presence. May they know that, and may they find their peace in you. Amen. A reading from Daily Devotional Insights, Teach Me to Pray, Andrew Murray. This is a comment on Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. We are all one body. We have the same spirit, and we have all been called to the same glorious future. He writes, there are many who look upon salvation only in connection with their own happiness. There also are those who, through prayer, seek to bring others to share in their happiness. We have a calling to take the whole body of Christ Jesus into our love and into our prayers of intercession. It is only when intercession for the whole church, by the whole church, ascends to God's throne that the spirit of unity can have its full sway. Closer union between the different branches of the Church of Christ is cause for thanksgiving. Yet the difficulties are great, so great that the thought of a united church on earth appears to us to be beyond reach. Let us bless God that there is a unity available in Christ Jesus, deeper and stronger than any visible manifestation could make it. Unity can be practically exemplified in the work of the kingdom. Intercession in the Spirit can bring true unity. When we as believers learn the meaning of our calling as a royal priesthood, we will see that God is not confined to our limited spheres. He invites us to pray for all who believe or can yet believe. By intercession, the Church of Christ will be bound to the throne of heaven as never before. Let us pray for Doug. He's a little boy. Lord Jesus, a little boy who has lost his dog, and no one seems to know or understand his sorrow. His dog was his friend. He does not know why the dog died. All he knows is that he ran before a car. And now he doesn't have his dog anymore. Mommy and Daddy are trying to make him understand, but he doesn't understand why his dog died. Lord, this is a difficult prayer because how can we pray? How do we know? What do we do? I guess, Lord, we just need to pray for Mom and Dad and Doug that they sit through this together. There is no replacement for the dog. And there's no explanation he's so young. Except that together they will be able to handle the death of the dog and maybe the lessons it might teach them about their family and each other. We pray for them. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. We pray for Carlton, Lord. What is he going to do with his mother? Dad is gone. He founded the business. Mom is left. She used to run the business. Now she's old. And she wants to stay in her own home, and she wants to stay with her own things, and she wants to be in the house, but she can't, and she's alone. And now Carlton has to wonder, what is he going to do with Mom? And he's struggling because, Lord, he doesn't want to put her in a nursing home. They can pay the money. The business is good and there's plenty of it. But he doesn't know if he can. And if he does, he wonders if he would be killing her. Would he be bringing her death faster than she would have at home? Lord, we know Carlton has tried everything. He's had live-ins. He had people round about the clock. But Mom is in such a state now that even those who would work with her don't want to anymore. We pray for Carlton that you would be with him as he makes this very difficult decision, and in some way you would lead him to that which is the right answer for him, because Mom can't stay home anymore. And we ask you to be with Mom as she can confront the problem that she'll be no longer in her home, and depression can come, it can come fast, and lament and sorrow, why is he doing this to me? And the cruel words that sometimes can come from older people who their loved ones are trying to take care of them, but they only know that they're not getting what they want. and they wonder how you, whoever you are, who have loved them, are doing this to them. And so we pray for all people confronted by mom or dad and what to do about it. And we ask you to work out in your perfect way through the Council of Families, and if there is no family, the Council of Friends, but all in all, through your counsel, what to do about it, and help them to confront it, to answer it, and then to find a way to turn it about in some ways. Lord, these are answers we ask from you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. A reading from Andrew Murray, Teach Me How to Pray, Daily Devotional Insights, put out by Barber Press. The psalm he uses for this meditation called A Deep Mystery is Psalm 17, verse 6. I am praying to you because I know that you will answer, O God. God will hear me. What a deep mystery. There are difficulties that arise and perplex the heart. There is the question of God's sovereign will. How can our wishes change His perfect will? He knows what is best and loves to give us the very best. How can our prayer change what He has ordained? What is the need of persevering in prayer? If God is infinite love, delighting to give, why is there a need for pleading, for urgency, and long delay in answering our prayers? What of the multitude of apparently unanswered prayers? Many have pleaded for loved ones, and they die unsaved. Many cry for physical healing without result. This tries our faith and makes us hesitate when we say, God will hear me. Prayer is a deep spiritual mystery. Answers can be given that remove some of the difficulty from our questions, but as little as we can comprehend of God, we can comprehend one of the most wonderful of His attributes. God hears prayer. It is a spiritual mystery. God hears because we pray in His Son Jesus, and because the Holy Spirit prays in us. If we have believed in Christ and the Holy Spirit, we should not hesitate to believe in the power of our prayer also. We can believe and rejoice in it, even where every question is not yet answered. We need to surrender our questions to God's love, trust in His faithfulness, and obey His commandments to pray without ceasing. Friends, we have prayed for many today, and we thank you for being with us. I know many of you have been in the chat rooms, many of you have called in, many of you have shared with us your petitions. We pray, and we ask that you would join with us in this ending prayer, which will be the general Thanksgiving prayer. Let us pray. O Father of all, who art wisdom and beauty and goodness, whose spirit ever thrives in the souls of men, we thank you that you have made us heirs of all the ages, that you have given us your creative power and called us to share the fruits of thy redemption. For the vision of thyself in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for thy divine compassion which cares for us despite our weaknesses, cowardice, and self-love, and for thy leadership until this hour, glory be to thee, O Lord. For the radiance, mystery, and surprise of this dear world, for thy beauty and wisdom revealed in it, and for the love of friends which sweeten it, glory be to thee, O Lord. For the leaven, of thy ideals of liberty and justice and brotherhood, which have worked so mightily and still work so hopefully among the peoples of the earth. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Because through suffering and weakness, thou hast taught us patience and given us the sense of dependence upon thee. Because in health and strength, thou hast given us to share thy joy in being active. And because in sorrow, thou hast revealed to us the glory of others' kindness. Glory be to thee, O Lord. For the disciplines of life, for the endurance which is learned through drudgery, for the work which is its own reward, and for the difficulties which are the materials of victory, thy victory in us, glory be to you, O Lord. Because through the turmoil of life we find your peace, because for the challenge of life we need your strength, and because in the adventure of death we have your blessed hope. Glory be to you, O Lord. For the laughter of children, for pure mirth and kindly wit, for the jest of gallant souls, and the cheerfulness of sufferers, which puts to shame our selfishness and self-concern. Glory be to thee, O Lord. For your church on earth, for the comfort and encouragement of the blessed company of all your faithful people, and above all, for the sense of your companionship in the holy sacrament of Holy Communion. Glory be to thee, O Lord. The Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family on earth and in heaven is named, grant to us that we would be strengthened with might by his Holy Spirit in the inner person, so that Christ, dwelling in our hearts by faith, we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen and amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen and amen. I want to thank you for being with us. We're going to stop here. We have prayed for those, and I thank you for sharing those prayers with us. For all for whom we pray, we ask God's blessing for all of those in your lives. We ask God's blessings in your lives and in your ministry. God look upon you with grace, and in the day to come and in tomorrow, whatever happens, may you see in it some peace of joy. Today, as I went about, just as we end here, there were many opportunities for me to grouse, many opportunities for me to say, oh, you know, it isn't fair. Many opportunities when I really would rather have said it isn't fair. But, you know, prayer and the Holy Spirit and being in the Spirit, somehow or other, especially after this intercessory program and sharing with you in the intercessory prayers, those small momentary afflictions of annoyance are just like a flick. But God's goodness and God's grace and God's love is so overpoweringly wonderful that it brings a sense of joy to the heart and a smile to the face. And so tonight, God bless you, and thank you very much, and may you rest in peace. Amen.